Let me begin reading in verse 1. This is our second week in the book of Romans. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1, just a little bit of review. All right. Somebody's trying to close up the church there for a moment. All right. Notice with me as we begin reading in verse 1. I think I mentioned to you this chapter is dealing with the faithfulness of God. Deals with the rejection of Israel, the regrafting, and the restoration of the nation of Israel. He said in verse 1, he said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want you not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying. Now I'm going to skip down and come to verse 8 and make a few comments on the previous verses. But notice with me in verse 8, continuing the thought of the election being saved and Israel as a nation being blinded. He said in verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them, and let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more of their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now we'll obviously probably not get any farther than this passage here, so we'll stop reading there. Now, dear God, we ask this evening, Lord, your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Thy Scripture. Dear Lord, as we come into this chapter of the book of Romans, we pray, God, for insight. We pray, Lord, for your leading. We pray, Lord, that you teach us that we might become better servants of Thee and might be more pleasing to Thee. And we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, just a quick overview of this particular chapter, or at least the verses that we have already covered. They're basically, I mentioned to you last week, there's two questions that have been, or is asked in this chapter and then answered. And one of the questions is, have all the Jews been rejected? In other words, every one of them. And of course, in the verses we read last time that we met, the answer to that question is no. Because there is a remnant, according to the election of grace, that existed in the days of the Apostle Paul. Paul says in verse 2 and in verse 3 and 4, he said, I am also a Jew. He says this in verse 1, by the way. He said, I am an Israelite. He said, of the seed of Abraham, under the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul is saying, no, not every Jew has been rejected. He's saying, I am a Jew. And he says that he uses the Old Testament, for that in the days of Elijah, 7,000 men or 7,000 saints had not bowed the knee to Baal. And he said, there's a remnant there. There's a remnant now. And I said to you last time that God always has a remnant. Now, the next question that is asked and get and answered in this chapter is, not only have all the Jews been rejected, and the answer is no, but the next question would be, have the Jews been rejected forever? Notice, have they been totally and completely set aside? And the answer to this question is also no. Because if you read from verses 11 through the end of the chapter, you see the grafting in of the olive tree, them being grafted back in. You see their salvation. You see God offering to them salvation as He has the Gentile world. Now, I want you to notice with me as we come to verse 8. And we'll just pick our study up from here this evening. and go through a few verses tonight and consider the thought that we had, you know, we just sort of left off here in verse 8 and 9 and 10 and just kind of stopped, and we'll pick up here now. You'll notice in verse 8 that he says this. He says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now again, he's talking about the election being saved, those who are the elect, those who have trusted the Lord in verses 5, in verses 6, in verses 7. And he's talking about the rest being blinded. Now as we come to verse 8, he says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, that is, of sleep. And he says, and eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Then in verse 8, and David said, let their table be made a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, and let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. So as we come to verse 8, we see the blindness of Israel. And I said to you, I believe, last week, that they were blinded because of their sin. Now many people, it depends on what camp they're in, and when you come to these verses here in chapter 11, but they can get on one hobby horse or the other, depending upon what camp that they're in. And I'm talking about dealing with election and predestination and things of that nature. But the bottom line is, Israel was blinded because of their sin. I believe that the Scriptures bear this out. But I want you to notice, he said in verse 8, according as it is written. Now this is a quote taken from Isaiah. As you get in verse 9, he quotes the book of Psalms, and in chapter 69. But in verse 8 he said, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now there's a number of passages in the Bible that talks about their blindness. Now this is a quote from the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to turn back there in Isaiah chapter 29 and read just a few verses. There's many, especially in the New Testament, that deals with this. Not only does Romans 11 deal with it, but other passages. We find it in Isaiah chapter 29. And first of all, let me begin reading in verse 3. This is dealing with Jerusalem. And he says in verse 3, he says, I will camp against thee, that is Jerusalem, and round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount. And he said, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about judgment to come upon Israel. He's talking in this passage about the blindness of Israel. You'll notice as we come down to verse 10, I'm going to read verses 10 through 13, and verse 10 is where Paul, the apostle, is quoting from. He says in verse 10, he said, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. So in the Old Testament, here in this time, Israel had rebelled against God. This is a warning against them in this chapter, many chapters in Isaiah, but this is a warning against Jerusalem. And here in verse 10, he says that the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophet, he said, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. So God brought blindness upon this nation. And if you read through the book of Isaiah, you see why. Because of their sin and their rebellion against God. And then in verse 11 he said, and the vision of all that has come unto you as the words of the book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. In verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people. Now, this people, nearly every time in the Bible, is a reference to the Jewish people. You find that in Old and New Testament. And he said in verse 13, wherefore the Lord saith, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So, there are those that have come along and say, well, God blinded them just because He wanted to blind them. But when you take the context, the book of Isaiah, and then the context of Isaiah chapter 29, you see in verse 13 why that God blinded Jerusalem, blinded this nation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And if you're taking notes this evening, I'm going to give you two other passages. There's many throughout the New Testament. But in John 12:40, we see this blindness of the nation of Israel. Then in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 26 through 28, the Apostle Paul, as he's carrying out his ministry, you get toward the end of the book of Acts, which is the Acts of the Apostles, and he basically is saying there the same thing that Jesus said where we're going to read in Matthew chapter 13. Now notice as we come here, the Lord begins speaking in parables in verse 3. And as we come down in Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to be reading in verse 13, that he says, well, no, let me back up. Matthew chapter 13, let me back up to verse 10. And the disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Now here it is for this people, talking again about Israel. For this people's heart is waxed gross, like a thick layer of fat covering the heart. And he says here, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, notice, they have closed. Now we see that God blinded them, but they closed their own eyes. And then God blinded them. And he said, and he says here, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So, yes, God did blind them, but they closed their own ears and their own eyes before God poured out the spirit of slumber. Now, as we go back to Romans chapter 11, we come back to verse 8, and again, we're looking at the fact that there are a remnant that believe that were not blinded, that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul was a part of that remnant, as well as Peter, James, and John, and many others. And then we see here in verse 8, he said, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. That is the time that Paul is writing the letter. And then as we come to verse 9, he says, and David saith, now we're going now to the book of Psalms. We get one quote out of Isaiah. Back up in the chapter, we've seen a quote out of Kings, 1 Kings 18 and 19 that we looked at the last time. But we see in verse 8, he's quoting from Isaiah. He's going back to their scriptures. He's going back to the time of the Old Testament. Now in verse 9, here's something that not only did Isaiah speak of, here's something David said. And David said, let their table... And I briefly commented on this the last time that we met, and I will spend a little time on this table tonight. But he said, "Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, and let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, how they stumble, that they should fall." So we see here now not only the spirit of slumber, which is basically sleep, and again, I believe that light rejected becomes lightning. When we reject light, I believe it becomes lightning. And God gives us light. He offers us salvation. And then when we reject that, then the judgment of God will be upon us. And those who reject are difficult to reach, as the writer is saying here. When he talks about the seeing and the becoming blind, I think you would classify cataracts as hard substance in the eyes. And it'd be as if they had an extreme case of cataracts or blindness. In the days of Sodom, when the angels closed the door, they brought blindness upon the people of Sodom. They wandered around there, I guess, temporarily until God burnt them and judged them. But this is what we're talking about, is blindness upon this nation. Now, there's another thought here. Not only were they blinded because of their own sin, they blinded themselves, and then God blinded them. And Jesus spoke to them in parables. Now, parables did two things. Parables would reveal truth unto those that are saved. But it also concealed truth to those who were not saved, those who did not want it. He spoke in parables so that they would not understand. You know those that are in your family, your friends, people you work with that are not saved, and they might even be able to quote a few verses. But the bottom line, they just don't understand the principles that are laid down in Scripture, especially when it comes to God's eternal salvation. Now, the next analogy that he uses here is that of a table. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on this evening. We're in no hurry, I guess, with getting through the book of Romans. We'll just start another book when we get through with that. But he says here in verse 9, he says, "And David said," this is quoted from Psalms 69. And he said, "And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them." Now let's speak for a few moments about this table. Turn with me to Psalms. We'll go to the book of Psalms in chapter 69. We'll go to where this is quoted from. Now what's interesting about this chapter, this is messianic. This chapter does deal with Christ and the crucifixion. And so I'm just going to kind of cut into the text, but I want to come to verse 22, and again, the writer here, David, speaking of the nation of Israel again, and Paul brings us over into the New Testament. And before I read, let's say just a few words about a table. A table in the Scriptures here represents the special privileges that Israel had. We know that when we think of a table, we think of a place of blessing and nourishment, do we not? How many sat down at a table this afternoon after church and fed your face? Amen? So we think of a place of blessing. We think of a place of nourishment. And as we consider this, the Lord Jesus Christ, now keep in mind, the Bible said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was a minister of the circumcision. His earthly ministry, He came to the nation of Israel. He was born a Jew among them and lived among them and walked among them. And I'm going to illustrate that in just a few moments. But the Lord Jesus in John 6, verse 48, I guess, through about 60, if there's 60 verses in that chapter, through the rest of the chapter, however many verses they are, he mentions the fact of the manna that was given to the children of Israel, but he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Think about Israel's table in spiritual terms, okay? And we know that a table is a place of blessing and nourishment. So if we bring this into a spiritual arena, the table then represents the blessings and privileges that the nation of Israel had, okay? It was a place of blessing, but it became a place, became a curse. And you'll notice with me that as we come here to chapter 69, verse 22, look at this, and again, keep in mind the context of Psalm 69. This will help us. What is the context? The crucifixion. The crucifixion. So that which should have been to their welfare. Are you thinking with me? What should have been good for the nation of Israel? The Messiah. What should have been a blessing to them? What should have brought spiritual nourishment to the nation of Israel? They stumbled over it. It became a snare. The place that they should have been able to come and sit down and put their feet under this table, representing a spiritual blessings, and partake what? Of the bread of life, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one had been promised for hundreds of years, they rejected. It became a snare. It became a trap. It was no longer a table of blessing to them. And so he says in verse 22, again, the context here is the Messiah. It is the crucifixion. Him dying for their sins. And he says in verse 22, let their table become a snare before them, that and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they should not see, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them, and let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. And iniquity unto iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. And verse 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Some serious words. But you see the word table that is mentioned in verse 22. Let me illustrate this again. Come to Matthew chapter 15. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 15, and we'll illustrate this again. And I think about also, when we're talking about spiritual things, what about the Lord's table? Is it not a place of communion? Is the Lord's table not a place of blessings when we're obedient to come to the Lord's table? I personally believe that there's blessings associated with partaking of the Lord's table simply because of the fact that we're obedient, and it is a symbolic time of reflecting upon His sacrifice. I believe I do not believe it's miraculous or conveys any grace or whatever, but I believe because of our obedience coming to the table that there's blessings that are associated with that. Well, we find here as we come to Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading from about verse Matthew 15. Let me see here. Verse 21. And then Jesus went hence and departed on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan. Now this would be a Gentile woman, a Greek. And it says, she came out of the same coast and cried to them, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And the disciples came to sought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now keep in mind, this is Christ's earthly ministry. He came to this earth to die. And he's ministering to the Jews at the time. He came into his own. And he says in verse 24, it says, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He did in his earthly ministry, even though he ministered to some Gentiles, he focused upon the reason that he came to this earth. He did come to die, but he also focused upon this nation because of all the promises made unto them. So he said here, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, the story doesn't end here. It says in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She wouldn't quit. And verse 26, and he answered and said, it is not meet or it's not right to take the children's bread. Now, what are we talking about? Talking in spiritual terms. Okay? To take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. The children's bread would be Israel's promises and covenants and the word that was given to them. So it's not to be cast just before the swine or before dogs. It should be represented here as that. As unclean at this time as a Gentile. But notice what she said in verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. See, we're talking about the table, spiritual things, the bread, the living bread that's on the table that's served to the nation of Israel. And then a fascinating thing happens here. And it says in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Let it be unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what she was willing to do? She's willing as a dog to eat, as a dog will eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. She was willing to take a place of submission. She says, she's saying in effect, I know you're the Messiah. And I know that you've come to this nation because the promises made and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the fathers back there, Romans 15, 8, I believe it is, says that He came to confirm the promises made unto the fathers and the covenants back there. And she says, I understand that, Lord, but I'm willing to eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. And He healed her daughter because of her faith and her willing to submit herself to the Savior. Now, the reason I came and read this is because of the fact of this illustration of the table. And so here's what happened. As we read in Romans 11 again, he says in verse 9, and David said, let their table be made a snare. That is like a, he uses the word trap. Be made a snare and a trap. We know what a trap is. We know what a snare is. One writer says in reference to the trap, he says, as unhappy birds are enticed by that which is their substance and then killed. He says, in other words, in reference to the children of Israel, they had the bread and the bread was before them. The bread was served to them from heaven and they rejected it. And he says here in verse 9, and a recompense unto them. A recompense unto them. Do you remember the words of the Lord? And I'll not ask you to turn there, but in Matthew 27, when it was time for the crucifixion, in that chapter in verse 25, here's what they said when Pilate, in verse 24, Pilate had been speaking in verse 24 of this. He said he referred to Jesus Christ as innocent blood, a just person. And he said, what do you want to do with this man? And his wife had warned him. And then, as we, in verse 25, he said, then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Do you realize what a statement that is? Think about that statement this evening. So, in Romans 11 and in verse 9, let's read it again. In Romans 11 and verse 9, verse 8, we see that God had blinded them. In verse 9, we see that the word table, again, is used in a spiritual sense. It represents special privileges, a place of blessing, a place of nourishment. Again, I use the example in Matthew 25, John chapter 6. And again, the Lord's table. Spiritually speaking, we get spiritual nourishment through obedience of coming to the Lord's table. I've seen people who will avoid the Lord's table. But we find that there's blessings It's commanded by God, so there's blessings that are associated with it. And so we come here and he said in verse 9, let me read verse 8 and 9 together, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them." Well, this table did become a stumbling block. And it did become a snare, and a trap, and a recompense. You imagine the Jewish nation crying out and saying, "Let His blood be upon us." Well, it was. And in AD 70, Titus and the Roman army killed over 1 million people. The blood flowed in the streets, torn down the temple and sent many into slavery, into Egypt and places like that, at least 200,000, if not more. And this is why the Lord said in passages He told the Christians that He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, He said, flee. And the historians say that there wasn't one Christian left in Jerusalem whenever that city was destroyed. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but historians say that all the Christians obeyed Luke 21 and Matthew 24, and when they saw the abomination of desolation, they saw the Roman army come up around Jerusalem, that they fled for their lives, exactly as God said to do. So He says that their table representing spiritual blessings, Christ being the bread of life, as in John 6 and verse 48. And again, we have the communion table, spiritual nourishment out of obedience to God. The woman there that came to the Lord said, "I'll eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table." She just wanted her daughter healed. She wanted to know about the Savior. So He says in verse 9, "Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them." If you back up with me to chapter 9, you'll notice with me that in verse 31, He says in chapter 9, verse 31, "And Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." They stumbled over the stumbling stone. And they stumbled, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says there very clearly how that they stumbled. And it says, I'll just read that to you. It says that Jesus Christ, in verse 6, was the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. And then, in verse 8, He says, "And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the Word." That's what they stumbled at. They stumbled at the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, He recognized the Father, but He said He was the Son. And they stumbled at His words. He made Himself equal with the Father at times, and He submitted Himself to the Father at times. There's a number of things that in the first century began to be denied, and they're denied today. The doctrine of the deity of Christ. I dealt with this a week or so ago on the radio. And the deity, the divinity of Christ, there's many today that deny the divinity of Christ. The fact that He was God, manifest in the flesh, He was called the Son of God. But there are also many that deny the Trinity today. There's a oneness movement that's been across our land that is denied. And so we find here that they stumbled at His Word. Okay? They stumbled at the Word of God, at the Word that Jesus Christ spoke. These are fundamental truths that are laid down in the Word of God. And people stumble at them. Now notice in Romans 11 again, He says in verse 9, verse 8, "Keep in mind they're blinded." Quoted from Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 9, this is quoted from Psalms 69, verse 22. And he says, "Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them." The word recompense, God is using Israel's own blindness. Recompense to repay. He's using their own blindness to repay them for the rejection of Jesus Christ, and they have reaped for what they have sown. And again, they're the ones that said, "Let His blood be upon us. Let the blood of Jesus Christ be upon us." That's some serious words. I witnessed to a man this past week in Mississippi, and he made some very strong accusations against the Lord and His Word. And I told him, I said, "You're walking on dangerous grounds." And I actually gave him a couple of illustrations as this one that is in the Word of God. I said, "You're walking on very, very dangerous grounds." Now notice in verse 10, as we come here in verse 10. And by the way, I'm trying to decide. Let me read verse 10. And let me take you to another passage or two. We're just going to stop. Because when I get into verse 11, well, actually verse 13 is where I was going to try to stop at this evening. But notice with me, let's read verse 10. He said, "Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say that have they stumbled, that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." God used their stumbling and their fall to bring salvation to the Gentiles. He used the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. You're going to read this chapter like you read chapter 9. Glean through it, get an overview of it, understand the general thought of it, and so forth. There will be some difficult verses in or words in this chapter. And you'll say, "What in the world is going on here?" But if you get the general teaching of this chapter, we find here that as we've already now, this is our second week from verse 1, we find that the two questions, again, that I told you earlier that was asked, has God cast away every Jew in the first century? And Paul says, "No, I'm a Jew and I'm saved." Then the second question begins in verse 11, and he's saying, has God cast them away forever? And he says, "No." He says, "No." He says, God is still saving. God is willing, even in the future, to graft them back into this good olive tree. So he's saying there's hope for the Jew and the Gentiles. He gives warning, by the way, to the Gentiles in this chapter that we'll get down to in a week or so. But now, notice here as we come back in verse 9 and in verse 10, that their table became a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them, and their, verse 10, their eyes being darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Let's speak just for a few moments, and we'll close with this. Let me take you to three passages, and we'll close. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. And then we're going to go to the Old Testament. Now, I want to come back to the thought of this table just for a moment and illustrate or reaffirm that what should have been a blessing became a curse. Okay? And the same is true today. What should be a blessing to individuals today many times becomes a curse. And they reject the light. See? And this is what happened with the nation as a whole. Now let me give you an example of this. Turn to Matthew 21, verse 42. And he says here in this passage, "And Jesus said unto them..." Now, I ask you to go home and read the entire parable beginning verse 33. It's talking about a householder and a vineyard, and the Lord sent His servants, and then last of all He sent His Son, and they killed His Son. I mean, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about the kingdom. And they said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us." But in verse 42, he said, "And Jesus said to them, did you not read in the Scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Now look at these next few verses carefully. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God is to be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Even here the Lord is saying, listen, as a nation, you're not going to get the kingdom. It's going to be taken from you. You've rejected the Son. You've rejected the Word of God. And so He's saying it's going to be taken you and given to a nation. Are we not called a holy nation, a royal priesthood in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe it's verse 9? In other places it's called the little flock. The little flock were the Jewish believers, Peter, James, and John, and others. And so the kingdom was taken from Israel as a nation and given to this remnant. Verse 44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Strong words. And verse 45, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard His parables, they perceived that He spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on Him, they feared the multitude, because they took Him for a prophet." He's speaking to the leaders of the nation of Israel. "It's going to be taken from you. It's going to be given to this little flock." The remnant. Okay, the believers. Now, turn to two other passages, and we'll close with this. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, And what's bringing me back to this is the thought, because He's going to give warning to the Gentiles later on in Romans 11. And the thought here that comes to my mind is their blessings became a curse. Their blessings became a curse. We're not to allow our blessings to become a curse, okay? And that's the thought I want to leave with you tonight. And we see in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to be reading from verse 10. We have these words, verse 10 through verse 13. He says, "And it shall be..." Now this is Israel getting ready to go into the land. And he said, he's talking to them, but he says, "Keep the commandments, keep the Word of God, and teach your sons and your sons' sons," and so forth, as verse 1 through verse 9. He said, "Write it on your doorpost." He said, "Write it everywhere. Talk about it when you get up, when you go to bed, when you eat breakfast." He said, "Talk about the Word of God. Don't be talking about the Power Rangers and, you know, and don't be talking about the latest movie and, you know, all these." He said, "Be talking about the Word of God." And he says here in verse 10, he says, "And it shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, and to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, rather, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, nor vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full." Now that's when the problem comes in. When we get full, fat, and sassy. That's when the problems come in. We get full. He says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." America has forgotten the Lord their God. And the same warning is given in Deuteronomy 8, if you're taking notes tonight. It is given in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verses 10, 11, and 12. He basically is saying very similar to what he said there about don't forget the Lord. But I want to close in Ezekiel chapter 16. Please turn there with me. In the book of Ezekiel. And we'll close here in chapter 16. Now, can anybody tonight tell me, you know, we talk about sin and nations, individuals, and even churches. Does anybody know what the sin problem was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Somebody tell me what it was. I'm sort of setting you up a little bit. You know that, don't you? See, you have the right answer. You have the right answer. Most of you would probably be thinking homosexuality. No, it didn't begin there. It began somewhere else. And this passage I'm going to be reading, I'm going to read two verses. But here was the root problem of Sodom, and it has become the problem of America for many years. He said in verse 49, he says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." Now he's speaking to Samaria, I believe, in this context, and Jerusalem, describing Jerusalem's great sin. But here he says, "This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." Now look at it. There's going to be about four things mentioned here. What's the very first thing? Pride. Pride. It didn't begin with what we consider as sodomy or homosexuality today. Here's where it began. It began with pride. Number two, fullness of bread. They had too much. And then he says, an abundance of idleness, nothing to do but hang around the mall all day. That's where we see the young people at today, isn't it? And he says here, an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Here's another one. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Pure religion is helping the poor and the needy, the fatherless, the widows, and so forth. And then he said in verse 50, "And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good." It all began with pride and fullness of bread and abundance of idleness and forgetting about their ministry to the poor and the needy. We're going to stop right there.